After spring comes summer. And after distillation comes coagulation. Marking the onset of baka, reinstatement, following annihilation. There are two say forces which are simultaneous Nuzul and Uruj, Nuzul is the descent of the unconditioned into manifestation. And Uruj is the ascent of the conditioned toward the unmanifest. It's Nuzul that has, so to speak, brought us to Earth. And on Earth we have experienced the nostalgia for the ineffable that has compelled us to rise on the current of Uruj toward transcendence. But as one rises, and the closer indeed one comes to the fountainhead of it all, the more Nuzul reasserts itself. But in a completely new light. There's a turn from the personal vantage point to the perspective of the Creator. My father used to call it the antipodal perspective. Rather than thinking of God up there as an object, think of God as the true subject of all thought. Think of the thinker who thinks through you, and the seer who sees through you, and the hearer who hears through you. So rather than making yourself the subject and God the object, reorient yourself. So that God is the absolute subject. Sheikh Nasiruddin Chiraghi Dili said, rather than contemplate God, contemplate God's contemplation of you. And in this way, one becomes privy to the motivation behind the whole universe. If one can use the word motivation for something so elusive of words. Though no word is adequate, the word that the Sufis have chosen, controversial though it may be, is the word ishq. Ain, sheen, qaf, ishq. Love, but more than love. Shaddat al-hubb, the extremity of love. Extremity of hubb. And what is hubb? You find this word in the Hadith Qudsi, the sacred tradition around which the whole cosmology of Sufism revolves. Kuntu kanzan makhfiyan fa ahbabtu an urafa fa khalaqta al-khalaq. I was a hidden treasure, and I loved to be known, and so created the world that I might be known. I was Makhfi. In the Lataif, after the Sir comes Khafi, hidden, and Akhfa, most hidden. Those words are of the same root. Kuntu kanzan makhfiyan, I was hidden. Hidden treasure. wealth unseen, unknown, real, but unexperienced. So there's a paradox, because being is called wujud, that means finding. And in the absence of finding, there is reality, but in a sense, no beingness to it, no actualization, no encounter. Reality existed in potentia, still absolutely real and endowed with every potency, all possibility, undelimited. Delimitation comes with expression, but also revelation comes. For instance, as the rishis say, a single block of stone contains every statue conceivable. But they're only discernible when the stone is chiseled. Chiseling of the stone reveals one statue. The others are excluded in that instance. So creation involves the limitation of the unlimited, but also the expression of it. And the constant transformations of the manifestation means that more and more of the infinite may indeed be revealed, despite the limiting circumstances. Ibn Arabi, Sheikh Al-Akbar, Qaddas Allah Sirruhu, speaks of the straightened state of the divine attributes in the solitude of transcendence. Straightened in the sense that there's no scope in that state for their unfurled display, enactment. So the state of the unmanifest is like suspended breath. And it is natural that in due course, to speak metaphorically, because in fact creation is recurrent every moment, but in due course there should be an exhalation. And after holding your breath for a long, long time, you know well the satisfaction of breathing out and then breathing in. And this universe is the breath of God, and its resorption is the in-breath of God. Moved by Shaddatul-Hub, by the intensity of love, by Ishq, I love to be known, or long to be known, yearn to be known. The word Hub, which is intensified as Ishq, Hub reveals the connotation of a linked word, namely Hab, the seed. Love is a seed that must unfurl. It contains everything, but just in a point. Imagine the grandest tree. Contained in a little acorn. All of its bark and its roots, its branches, its leaves, everything it will in time reveal is already right there in the acorn. And what does the acorn want? What is its nature? Ishq. Unfurling, revealing, experiencing, witnessing the hidden. Our will can be boiled down to a wish, and our wish can be boiled down to simply desire itself. The mystics have grappled with desire. Desire is the, you might say, problem at the center of everything. When Dara Shuku went to translate the word Maya in the text of Vedanta, he rendered it by the Arabic word Ishq. It's Maya and Leela, it's the illusion of duality within which attraction, yearning, intimacy, unveiling, tasting can unfold. The duality that occasions desire is subjective, in a sense illusory, and yet it is the context in which the acorn can reveal its tree-ness. So the closer one comes to the primal fountainhead of everything, the more is evident this tide sweeping out, this torrential current, this deluge of sheer vital yearning, this great restlessness that goes back to the beginning and it moves the stars in their courses, hurls souls down through the plains and dissolves bodies into light. The whole spinning wheel of life and death. In the narrowing of desire, in the dulling of desire, in the confusion of its shallows, all kinds of sufferings breed. And in its depths comes that perfection that Sufis find imprinted in the word itself, ishq, encoded in the letters, ain, sheen, qaf. Ain, ubudiyya, servanthood, being of service, being a worshipper, servant to God, in the service of the divine creation. Sheen, shukr, gratitude. A profound sensibility of the limitlessness of the grace, the benedictions, the kindnesses imparted by the Creator, and qanaat, which is ease. Taking each day, taking each moment as it comes, without grasping, without latching on. Just gliding serenely through this world and the next. What enables this elevation of desire? High above the narrow constraints of selfishness or stagnancy. A sense of the circle. The ability to drink in the ancient love that is for oneself, that is for every creature. To know it and inhabit it, and take one's fill. The Quran Sharif says, "Yuhibbuhum wa yuhibbunnuhu." God loves them, and they love God. There's a reciprocity. Their love of God follows effortlessly, naturally, and with the love of God, the love of everything that God has brought forth, effortlessly and naturally, having been loved first. One's very being, being the consequence of, or the crystallization of, the divine intention toward you. Therefore, Sheikh Ahmed Ghazali said that it is the greatest privilege imaginable that yuhibbuhum precedes yuhibbunnuhu. God loves them precedes they love God. That came first, before we knew what love was, before we even existed. We were brought forth in love, of love. And not merely in principle, specifically, right down to the minutest atom of one's being. Molded on the image of God. What does it mean to be molded? How does a sculptor mold? With hands on the clay, holding, touching, smoothing, delineating, tracing. tracing features with total absorption in the act, purposefully, inspiredly, is there a better definition of love than creation itself, to be made by the divine hands, held in the making? Every feature delicately molded with wakeful fingertips and open eyes, face to face. To know this in one's bones is to be devoted to love. And that's the end of it. There's nothing more to say. And not really to need anything else. All else is just the effervescence of this primal endowment. The sacred saying goes, in the divine voice, humanity is my secret, and I am the secret of humanity. The human being is my secret, and I am the secret of the human being, Al-Insan. From uns, intimacy. And we are all of the great human being. The cosmic human being. We are all exemplars of the first creation. The sun at the dawn of creation. The light of the whole universe, the fulfillment of God's purpose. original and encompassing mirror in which divinity knows itself is the first emanation, called by different names. In Hinduism, Hiranyagarbha. In the Mahabharata, Hiranyagarbha, golden embryo, who's like a rosary in which every soul is a bead. In Buddhism, Tathagatagarbha. In Mazdayasna, Vohumana, divine mind, first emanated. In the Bible, there is Shekinah. The Christians speak of the Holy Ghost. And of Sophia. Muslims of the Haqiqati Muhammadi, or the Nuri Muhammadi, the Muhammadan light from which the whole universe was made. That first created light, that primal human being, of which we are all a part. We say the spirit of guidance. And we know the spirit of guidance as personified in those who awaken to its life, the illuminated souls, whose kindled personalities become guideposts, beacons. We read in scripture, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallamu taslima. Indeed, God and the angels bestow prayers upon the prophet. O you who believe, send forth your own benediction on the prophet. So the divine being sends salawat to the universal human. A benediction flooded with love and light. And we are of that universal human. That is our ground, our basis, our quintessence. Albeit long forgotten and buried. But the excavation of that reality is urged by the illuminated souls who have themselves discovered it, and in so doing discovered the benediction, the salawat, the light that reaches the Prophet, just to sense a connection through devotion and nearness to that benediction, is to feel how the divine nostalgia and yearning and rahma floods creation and consecrates and kindles and sanctifies everything. Sparking a recollection deep down, the recollection of having come from that source, having been of the spirit of guidance, having gone forth, commissioned, mandated to descend. And one's descent so overwhelmed by the sweeping gust of the tailwind of the nuzul of God, that the descent plunged you down without any full picture as to the vista one approached, but impressions multiplied, forming the picture, but simultaneously veiling the origin until the veils crowded in so thick that the origin was altogether lost to view. Hence our quest has been that of unveiling and ascent. But now, drawing near, rising high, we meet again the current that sent us down. And we're caught in a dilemma. Press on into fana and disappear. Sink back down into mortal, sluggish torpor, or somehow reconcile the contraries. Be a person and not a person. Be someone and no one. Think and speak and act and be empty. Be a vehicle. Sayyid Muhammad Hussaini Gisudara says, the soul rides the body and God rides the soul. Put your soul at the disposal of the soul of souls. Which is in turn at the beck and call of the infinite one beyond all soul. Offer up your desire to the divine desire. Want what God wants. First one wanted God. Now one wants what God wants. When you're dissolving, you want God. When you're coagulating, you want what God wants. We can say these simple words. Ish. Allah, Ma'bud, Allah. Ma'bud is the worshipped one, the served one, the beloved, glorified one, Ma'bud. Ishq is Ubudiya, servanthood, and Ma'bud is the served. Ishq is Ubudiya, Shukr, Qanaat, and Ma'bud is the served, worshipped, glorified. Ishq Allah. God is love, and God is the worshipped, beloved. We say Ishq Allah when we trace the arc of the zikr, and then come down into the heart and say Ma'bud Allah. Thank you. Ma'bud Allah. Ishq Allah. Ma'bud Allah. Ishq Allah. Ma'bud Allah. Ishq Allah. Ma'bud. Allah. Shall we rise for the noon prayers?